friends. This is Gal Pals Watch. I'm Sarah.
I'm Alicia.
And this is a podcast where we discuss movies that involve queer women somehow.
Somehow, some way.
Yeah.
We're going to get there.
Yeah.
We're going to make it after all.
We're going to make it after all. Today we are talking about Mulholland Drive.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 2001 David Lynch film.
Film.
It's not a movie, it's a film. And it's our Halloween pick because it's a psychological thriller,
yeah.
I guess.
So I had never seen it.
Me either, and I think I was happier before I saw it.
So there was a lot that happened in
a lot, but even, also like nothing happened.
No, before I even watched the movie,
oh,
so
see.
Much happened. So I went to watch it one night and then I realized it was 2.5 hours
yeah.
long.
That's what I realized last night at 9 p.m. when I started. I was like, oh,
I told
shit.
You.
I thought yeah, I did but anyway. I forgot.
And then I was like, no, never mind. And then again, I had to watch it in like 2 sittings over 2 days because it was very David Lynch-y.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever seen any David Lynch stuff, actually. I mean,
so,
his name's kind of a household name.
Yeah.
Which I'm just like, why? Who likes this?
So, basically, if you like Twin Peaks, you would like this film because
wait, did he make Twin Peaks? Oh,
yeah.
That's why his name's a household name. Now I'm remembering all the texts you sent me that I completely forgot about until just now when you were like, have you seen Twin Peaks? And I was like, no, why?
Because in Twin Peaks, at least I'm pretty sure it's David Lynch who does like the directing for those, which he did the directing for this movie as well. He uses a lot of like sound things.
Yeah, and a lot of silence.
Yeah, a lot of silence, a lot of like muted sounds or
mm-hmm.
like he'll take out sounds and put in
mm-hmm.
another. Not that it's like not fitting to it.
Yeah.
Like, I remember there was a scene in Mulholland Drive where it's like a street, but like he kind of overlaid like traffic sounds on it, even though there was just like one car.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it kind of like fucks with your head.
Yeah.
So Twin Peaks is kind of like that with like
okay.
the lack of sound. There's silence
yeah.
and weird sound stuff.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I was really thrown by the audio of this movie, but I was thrown by the whole thing.
It's
weird. I had no idea what was going on the entire time. And I mean, I had like an idea of what was happening in certain scenes, but I was like, what do these have to do with each other and why do I care?
Yeah.
And in the end, I came to the conclusion that I don't care.
So, yeah, psychological thriller is a good kind of genre for this film.
Yeah.
And like part of the way through the movie, I think, like shortly before I gave up the first time, I wanted to look up what was gonna happen, but then I was like, no, I shouldn't. I wanna like, I'm gonna stick it out and I wanna see what happens.
Good for you.
But at the same time, I was like, I have a feeling that I'm not gonna be satisfied.
Yeah.
And I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because I still don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I read the Wikipedia synopsis and I was like, I still don't get it. Like, what?
I'm very confused about the timeline still.
Yeah. I'm confused about a lot of things, like the timeline, who the characters are. There's so many characters in this movie.
Yes.
And some of them, like, pop up and then they disappear. Some of them switch with each other so that, like, all of a sudden one person is this other character.
Yeah.
But it's so bizarre.
Yeah. And imagine my surprise, because right before I start a movie, I just Google it and I write down the director and who it's starring.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Naomi Watts.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
She's great.
But she's listed as Diane. But
that's
she plays
so funny.
She plays Betty for like more than half of the
yeah.
movie. So I was like, what the fuck? Did I like have a minor
yeah.
like stroke or something? What happened?
Yeah.
Like, why?
She's Betty and then she's Diane.
And then she's Diane.
And this unnamed person who they just decide to name Rita because of something they found in her purse or whatever.
No, well, she sees this movie, like a movie poster.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
I think it's of Rita
Hayworth. Oh, no, they found the,
And there's, yeah, and there's something else in her purse, I think.
Oh, okay. Because there was money in her purse, and there was that blue key. Mm-hmm. The blue key thing, because the blue key comes back in the end. I still don't know why, other than, like, this is some self-righteous dude trying to inject symbolism into everything. Like, to me, I'm all about symbolism and stuff like that, but to me, this story was so disjointed. Like, I don't think I could describe to you what happened in any kind of coherent way, because it's not a coherent film.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of is, like, it's the way I can describe it is half of the movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And this is probably just because of my, like, misandrist tendencies, but
I yes, just feel like hear it.
I feel like if a like a woman wouldn't make this film, or like,
or if she did, she would get it would not she would not be applauded for it.
No, not at all. It would be panned.
It'd be like, and what this the fuck is
like
this movie?
He I think he won an Oscar for this movie.
I'm sure he did.
I'm just like, why? Like, who greenlights this stuff? Who just lets? And he just. I feel like, okay, hold on. I wrote this down so that I wouldn't just stumble along. Okay, what did I write? I feel like this could only be made by a white man convinced of his own genius, because it's so scattered and out there that I feel like only someone with a real sense of self-righteousness could be like, it's art. And then everyone would be like, yay!
Yeah, my notes are super disjointed.
Yeah. Fitting for the movie that you're writing about.
Yeah.
You seem, well, unsatisfied, which is what you said.
I'm just confused. Mm-hmm.
I am confusion.
Despite all of our confusion, this movie does have lesbians in it.
Yeah.
Which is why we watched it.
Right.
This is what
we
this
didn't just randomly pick it.
This is what this podcast is about.
Yeah.
Like,
to bring it back home.
Bring it back to the ladies loving ladies. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I was also extremely unsatisfied with that aspect of it.
Yeah.
Everything seemed really male-gazy to me.
So I knew you would like, I was afraid you weren't going to finish it.
I finished it, but I have to admit that I, like, was only half watching for most of the time. I had to, like, get up. I had it playing in the background. Yeah. I had to get up and just, like, do something else. But while it was still going.
Yeah, I remember.
So I definitely missed some stuff. So,
well, I watched it, and I still missed stuff.
Yeah.
So that's why I, like, texted you, and I was like, it does get gay. You just look for it.
I know. It doesn't happen until really late. And then it gets gay in a way that's, like, not gay.
That's, like, I was going to say so gay.
Really?
Like a gay stereotype. Like, kind of like that.
I feel like it's a gay stereotype that's done really badly.
It's like, similar to, like, a modern-day Children's Hour, like, that kind of grief.
Yeah.
Yeah. And suffering.
Agreed.
That kind of thing.
That's a good parallel to draw.
So, but my first
And a lesbian dies. Or whatever, a queer woman. I don't know how she identifies.
Does she?
Doesn't she shoot herself?
Oh, fuck.
She definitely does at the end.
Yeah, I totally forgot.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
My first note is, what the fuck am I watching?
Mm-hmm. My first note is, uh-oh, David Lynch.
This movie opens up and with, like, a jitterbug scene.
Yeah, a long one. Yeah. Everything in this movie is long. All the scenes are long.
So long. Everything's so long.
Yeah.
Unnecessarily really long.
Oh, completely.
And that's not just me, a millennial, speaking, because I'm very patient.
Yeah.
But this was, like, again, art.
Yeah.
Heart. By a heart.
By a white man.
So basically, I guess the way, if I had to challenge myself to describe this movie and, like, give it a synopsis, mm-hmm. it's about a woman who gets into a car accident. She has amnesia, forgets who she is, wanders to an apartment that she thinks is...
The only thing physically wrong with her is, like, some blood on her head, too.
Yeah.
Like, she's fine. Everyone else is dead.
Dead.
But she just, like, gets out of this smashed car and is like, oh, let's just hike down into Los Angeles from, like, this place that's really high up.
From Mulholland Drive, which is fucking...
Mulholland Drive.
On a cliffside.
Yeah. She just goes through the brush and the woods.
So, basically, she doesn't know who she is, and she meets this woman, Betty, who...
She's an aspiring actress.
Yes. Very cheerful.
And her aunt, Ruth?
Something like that. Yeah.
Who we never actually see, I don't think.
Mm,
or do we see her later?
Maybe.
I can't remember. She's not there in the beginning, but she has this apartment that the amnesia woman made her way to.
Stumbles into.
Yeah. Oh, no. She is there in the beginning because she takes the keys and leaves.
Yeah.
That's her, right?
Yeah. Okay. She leaves, and then I think we see her later in the movie, but, like, we're not, like, introduced to her. We just know her as this woman who's leaving, and Rita happens to, like, sneak in when she's leaving.
Yeah.
So.
And Betty is her niece, and she's going to live there for a while she, like, tries to make it as an actor.
Yeah, and get on her feet.
Yeah.
And
then Rita's there, and they... fall in love?
Question mark? I don't even know. Like, maybe we should just go over the gay stuff.
Yeah, I know. When I was watching this and writing these notes, I was like, what are we even going to say about this?
Yeah, and that's what I'm looking at my notes right now. Also, like, just to tell you how fucking weird this movie is, Billy Ray Cyrus is in this movie.
That was him?
Yes, that was him.
Oh my god. That makes so much sense that it was him.
Okay, he has a cameo.
Okay, let's talk about Betty and Rita.
Yes.
So, Betty, like, makes it her personal mission to help Rita figure out who she is. They find all this money in her purse, and they're like, where did this come from? Does anything make you remember anything? And they decide to go to a payphone, which is funny because... I guess in 2001.
Yeah, they still exist. Yeah.
Yeah.
I used payphones until probably 2004.
Okay.
I remember being like, because that's when I got my first cell phone.
That's probably around when I got mine, too.
I remember having to, like, use a payphone at the mall when I needed my parents to pick me up. So.
Well, anyway, because they want to call from an anonymous number to see if there was an accident the night before that she could have been involved in. So they call the police station asking if there was an accident. They say there was, but they won't tell her anything about it, like who was involved, which is good. You shouldn't just tell strangers that kind of thing.
Yeah, some confidentiality.
So they figure out that there was an accident. They assume that Rita was involved in it, and that's why she can't remember anything.
Mm-hmm.
But then... somehow the name Diane Selwyn or something comes up.
Yeah, so they go to a diner, and the waitress is... Oh, yeah.
And her name's Diane, the waitress.
Yeah, the waitress's
name is
Diane.
Oh, that waitress was really cute and gay, for sure.
I thought she was Lisha Haley.
She kind of looks
Alice
like her.
Alice Piasecki from Hollywood, but she's not. She could definitely be her doppelganger. It's crazy.
She has the haircut.
Yeah.
Like the early 2000s lesbian haircut, yeah.
Gay cut? Whatever, I just made
that up. She was making eyes at Betty.
Yes.
Clearly.
And I wonder if it's because they knew each other, ? Again, I'm confused about the timeline. but anyway, she has a name tag, Diane, and Rita's like, Diane Selwyn, I remember this person's name. And Betty's like, okay.
Okay, let's go look her up. They find her in the phone book, and then they call her.
They go to her, they find her house, because in the phone book... because landlines have people's houses. Oh, my God. Yeah, this movie is so dated.
Yeah. I know. That was another thing I wrote down. I was like, is 2001 that long ago? Because it looks so old. But I guess it was that long ago.
Yeah, and like...
17 years?
Yeah, figuring you can look up someone's name in a book and get their phone number and address.
Yeah.
That's fucking creepy.
Yeah. Not that the internet isn't just as creepy / more creepy.
Sometimes a little bit harder.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Not if you're good at it.
Not that I would know.
Anyway.
So they go to this woman's house and they find a dead body.
Yeah, it's been dead for a while.
Yeah, it's like decomposing.
It's really gross. I had to look away in that scene.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure exactly what it looked like, but I'm glad I don't know.
It was very gray.
Oh, yeah. Well, I saw the gray because, like, you could see her legs and stuff. Ugh.
That was about it. And it looked like she might have died from a drug overdose or something.
Yeah.
I think, like, her arm was, like, wrapped.
Oh,
or
it was?
Something like okay. that. Like, she had been shooting up some drugs or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. But basically, they're both, like, super freaked out. And they try to get some information on Diane. They go to, like, neighbors. And, again, this is what's super confusing. Like, why doesn't the neighbor say, like, why doesn't she seem surprised to see Diane / Betty? I know I'm jumping ahead here,
yeah,
but
because the thing is, like, when the plot kind of switches, which is right after this, I think.
Yeah, basically.
Betty, Naomi Watts, becomes Diane. Suddenly you're, like, with Diane, Betty's gone.
But I think Betty was always Diane.
Yeah, but I just, like, why?
But the thing that's very confusing and that leaves the audience confused is because, like, there are instances with, like, they both go, Rita and Betty Diane, go to see the neighbor, and the neighbor's like, oh, yeah, I switched with Diane, like, a couple weeks ago.
But yeah, Diane, like, switch units,
like, apartment units, but Diane is right in front of her. Like, yeah. Why wouldn't she be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, unless she's, like, Diane said to the woman, like, I'm gonna come around here. If I come around here, pretend you don't know me. But, like, I don't think that...
Yeah.
And that's not explicit. Like, we don't know.
No, I hadn't even thought of that till you just said it.
So that's why I'm kind of confused. Yeah. And, like, when she goes and checks in on her later, she's like, it's been 3 weeks. Give me my shit.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And it's just kind of like...
And Rita's other half is Camille? Camilla?
Yeah, Camilla.
Camilla?
Yeah.
I don't know if I even
wrote Camilla. Yeah, I did.
Okay. And she and Diane are in this crazy dramatic relationship. Diane is very volatile.
Yes, very. And I think, like, we get that from the very beginning in terms of, like, how much she's willing to, like, not necessarily sacrifice, but how the lengths that she's willing to go to help this stranger.
Oh, Betty, you mean?
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah. Betty Diane?
Betty Diane.
Betty Diane or I'm Diane just... Diane? Duran Duran. Oh, God.
I guess Betty.
Yeah.
Betty's not volatile.
No.
But if
she's,
you think,
like,
of them
this
as the
innocent
same,
little girl, like.
But there's still something off about her with how much she wants to help Rita, I feel like. Like, if you just
and
walked
she,
in.
Oh, go ahead.
If you just walked in and saw, like, a random person there, no matter how nice she was, like, wouldn't you be like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just a little strange.
Yeah, that's true. And also, like, when Betty and Rita have sex.
Mm-hmm.
She says multiple times, I'm in love with you. I'm in love with you. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
And that sex scene, they had like 1.5 sex scenes.
Yeah, they did.
And the first one, the first one was as Betty and Rita.
Yes.
And the second one was as Diane and Camilla. And that first one, actually both of them, it was like a lot of their boobs and just like, touching each other's boobs, a lot of, like, close-ups on the boobs, and I was like, a man made this.
It was very top-heavy.
Yeah, very top-heavy. although there was a masturbation scene.
Yes.
But she was crying in it. It was a disturbing masturbation scene, but still. Everything about this movie is disturbing and how weird it is.
Yeah, we can't, this is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah.
But yeah, she says, like, it's just a little strange. Like, you can tell how close they're getting throughout the movie. They're, like, they get physically closer together. Mm-hmm. They, like, hold each other's hands.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're, like, hold each other's arms when they're walking.
Mm-hmm.
And the way in which, I guess, David Lynch shot it, he, like, really focused on the woman's faces. And, like,
they
can
see...
They
had a lot of makeup on, too.
And you can see how much, like, Betty... is, like, she's breathing really heavily.
Yeah, you're right.
Whenever she looks at Rita. So it's just, like, some heavy gay vibes.
Yeah.
You know.
But, like, this obviously wasn't made by a woman or a queer person.
No.
So.
Yeah.
It's boring as fuck.
Yeah, it's, like, obviously I was like, when are they going to have sex already?
Yeah. when are they going to kiss or something?
Because I just, like, and I felt really bad because, like, I definitely stopped it right after the sex scene.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I need a break.
Yeah.
Like,
I know, the sex scene was not satisfying. It was like, I don't even give a shit about this.
Yeah,
at least that was my reaction.
No, it was, I mean, it was like, I don't know. It wasn't satisfying. I think it was sexy. Like,
yeah.
in a, like, dictionary definition of sexy.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain what I'm thinking. But, like.
It was like, erotic.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know how to explain it. It's like. Betty, or no, sorry, Rita, no, they have this conversation, basically, and she's like, Betty says, stop sleeping on the couch,
oh,
just
yeah.
sleep in here,
and Rita shows up with no clothes on.
She's just like, because she just goes to bed in a robe on the couch. If someone slept naked on my couch, I'd be kind of irritated.
That you
them.
Don't know?
I'd be kind of irritated.
Yeah.
That's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Anyway. I mean, I love being nude, but I wouldn't put my bare ass on someone's couch. Anyway.
No, I would not either. I would not show up at some random stranger's house and be like, hey, can I just put my naked body all over your furniture? Thanks.
Like, I'm really glad she has the body confidence to do that.
Yeah.
But
sure.
She just, like, but in the way in which she even just, like, takes off her robe, she, like, kind of, like, puts her arms down and just lets it slide off. You know what I mean? Like, dictionary definition
yeah,
of sexy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, it's all very stereotypical. And then she gets into bed, and then, of course, like, Betty's like, like,
yeah. They start
ever,
making out pretty soon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She
have you
like,
ever
done
this
before?
I was like, I roll my ass so hard at that.
And she just said, I want to with you.
Yeah.
I'm in love with you.
Yeah. I was like, this is some bullshit. And then the other thing that I feel like the other most erotic scene in the movie was not the masturbation scene or the other sex scene with what's their faces, Diane and Camila.
Mm-hmm.
It was the one where Betty is auditioning with
oh
that
God.
Old man. I was like gonna throw up, and it went on for so
long.
I had to fast forward. I was like, first I took my headphones out and was like looking at my phone, but I could like see it. I was like, is it over yet? No, it's not over yet. Finally, I was like, fuck this, and I skipped ahead.
I was getting very nervous because the guy is, he's rapey. Like,
yeah, really rapey.
Yeah, he, like, automatically puts his hand on her ass in the, I guess, you know, just saying that he's acting. And
yeah.
Betty kind of has to play into it because she wants this role. And
she's
a very good actress.
Yeah. And the way it's portrayed on screen is that she's really into it. And, like, it just
But the dialogue is not
no,
the case.
No. And they're, like, auditioning. And it just all I could think about was David Lynch being like, this is my fantasy. To, like, I'm the old guy, and here's, like, a young, hot woman who, like, wants to just make out with me and, like, basically have mouth sex, like, in front of other people or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And it made me so uncomfortable.
Yeah, it made me very uncomfortable as
yeah.
well because it's just, like, it's just a fucked up dynamic.
Yeah, it was really
and,
fucked up.
And, like, perpetuating that dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of other weird relationships in this movie besides Betty.
There's a ton of other
Diane,
characters.
Camila, Rita, people.
Yeah.
Like, there is a... So she's auditioning for... I forget. They
I
don't
forget
even,
what she's auditioning for. Then she goes into a different thing where this director, Adam, is.
Yeah.
He has
like,
some crazy sunglasses.
Yeah, an agent is basically like, oh, you'd be really good for this movie. And I feel like it's a setup. Like, we don't learn that
yeah.
until later. But basically, like, the director really wants to choose Betty for the role in his film. Mm-hmm. But he can't. He's been told by, like, some, basically, like, a mobster.
Yeah, that's what it said on Wikipedia.
Oh, okay. That he needs to pick this specific girl, and that's never really explained. I don't get it.
No.
Okay.
Plus, there's a whole other scene with, well, that doesn't involve Adam, though, so I won't talk about it yet.
Go ahead. Just do it.
Okay. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
This podcast has no structure. It doesn't make any sense. Like this movie.
There was another scene in Winkies where it was, like, these two guys. One of them is that guy. I feel like I know that actor where he has really bushy eyebrows.
Yes.
I don't know who he is.
I
don't care about the men's.
He was talking to his psychiatrist, right?
Oh, that was a psychiatrist. Okay, yeah. He was telling someone about his dream. I guess it must have been.
I would assume it is.
And that he had this dream that took place in that specific Winkies where there was this really scary figure in the back. And the psychiatrist, I guess, is like, let's go out and look or something. And they go out. This scene also went on for a million years. And he was, like, sweating so much. And
oh, yeah.
I also just kept thinking that scene, like, was this really the style where, like, suits were way too big for people? They just wore oversized suits.
Yeah.
That's what they're both wearing.
Yeah.
It looks so ridiculous.
It does.
But they, like, go out in the back. They go down this staircase, like, past the dumpsters. He's really freaked out. He's sweating so hard. And then this, like, really creepy monster person kind of, like, just steps out. I think it's a woman, but I don't know.
This, like,
genderless, I guess.
Yeah. Creature.
It's, like, hairy and...
Yeah, it has very, like, frizzy hair.
Yeah.
It's, like, it looks like it's sooty.
Yeah, sooty.
Like,
just, like,
ashy.
Steps out from behind the wall.
And, like...
And then, like, steps back into the wall or whatever. Like, behind the wall, not into it.
We don't know.
I don't
because
think.
She doesn't really... She's kind
anyway,
of...
Anyway.
Yeah.
And the guy, like, collapses. And it's, like, why did we have that scene? What does this have to do with anything besides taking place at Winkies, which apparently is, like, a place in the movie because Adam goes there, too, at some point.
I'm confused about a lot of things, but there...
yeah, everything.
I guess that guy's connection to the rest of it. I know he comes back later in the film, but I don't really remember. Anyway.
Who cares? Some bullshit storytelling.
Yeah. But basically, like...
We're talking about Adam. Do we have more to say about him? Oh, yeah, he and his wife. That's where Billy Ray Cyrus comes in.
Yeah.
Adam goes home to his swanky house. He goes home early because they shut down production on his movie or something like that.
I think
like
it's
that.
Because he won't choose the actress
or
something. And they're like, tomorrow this will happen and you will choose this person.
Yeah, and his assistant is calling him being like, you need to come back in here. And he's like, no, I'm going home. And he says it like 600 times. I'm going home. I'm going home. He gets home. His wife's in bed with Billy Ray Cyrus.
Who's like a pool man.
I guess, yeah.
And, that's what his van said.
Basically. Oh, really? And
pool boy.
And... The wife and Billy Ray Cyrus are really pissed at Adam for being home.
Yeah, they're like, why are you here?
Yeah, they're like, get out, you son of a bitch. And he's like, he takes her jewelry box and pours a bunch of pink paint in it. She gets so mad. Then they're both covered in, like, pink paint. They're fighting with each other. Billy Ray Cyrus kicks them out. And then Adam has to go to this dingy hotel downtown. But, like, the mobsters find him. It's just like, what is this? Why are
this
we watching?
Me, oh my god, this reminds me of a fucking Kurt Vonnegut novel.
Oh my god.
I fucking hate Kurt Vonnegut.
Why
Sue
do
me?
Men do things like this?
This reminds me of like fucking Slaughterhouse-Five.
I've actually never read it.
Good, don't.
I probably won't.
I had to read it for one of my classes in college, and I'm sure the professor of that class fucking loves Mulholland Drive and loves Twin Peaks.
Yep.
Twin Peaks is alright. I'm not gonna dog on it too much. It's
I have
creepy.
Nothing to say about it because I haven't seen it.
It's creepy. Like, if you like creepy stuff.
No, I don't.
It's like creepy. But yeah, it's just kind of like... Ugh. Adam also, like, hits his wife in that moment.
He does. Yeah.
Like, I got really scared and like started getting like a little triggered in that moment and I was just like, oh my god, and I thought I might have to like shut it off, and it's kind of like played off like just because Billy Ray Cyrus's character comes in and like just punches him out. I don't know, it's just like
it doesn't
Well, we're supposed to, like, kind of like him. Adam, I mean.
Are we? Because I do not.
I know. I don't think so, but I feel like, well, I don't.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, in the sense that.
Are we supposed to be rooting for him?
I don't know, because, like, later on, Adam and Camila are together.
Oh, yeah. And they, like, get married. That's why, and, like, he's Diane really shoots herself.
And he's really sweet with Camila.
Yeah.
And that's after his ex-wife. Yeah.
Well, in the movie, it's after. But, like, did any of that stuff even happen from the beginning? Or is it just, like, a dream sequence?
Don't know.
No. Takeaway, don't watch this movie.
But, yeah, it's like, did Betty just become, like, so crazy that she became Diane Selwyn? I don't even know. And, like, imagined all of this? She definitely imagines the second sex scene. Like, that's not a real sex scene. It's an imagination.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I clearly wasn't paying close enough attention.
So how do you know that? So basically, Diana's by herself in the apartment, and she's, like, doing the dishes or something, mm-hmm. and she turns around, and she sees Camila topless on the couch with just, like, jean shorts on, and she was like, you're back?
Oh.
And she imagines her there, and then she just gets on the couch and, like, straddles her and starts trying to make out with her and just, like, shoves her hand down Camila's pants.
Yeah.
And Camila's like, stop, don't do that. Yeah. And Diane does not stop.
No, and she gets really mad.
Yeah. So basically she says, it's him, isn't it? And then Diane says, it's him, isn't it? And then she starts crying, and I'm pretty sure Camila is no longer on the couch after that.
Oh, I must have missed that part.
So I think it's all in her head.
I wouldn't be surprised if all of this was in her head, then.
I think that might be the case.
Yeah.
But basically, Diane is taken, or Diane, Camila takes Diane to, like, this swanky party at her house where she's with Adam's house.
Yeah.
And, like, she kisses her in front of Diane and, like, really tries to make her pissed off.
Mm.
And, like, kind of rub it in her face that, like, yeah, you're just my side piece. We'll never be official. We'll never be at this level.
Yeah.
And basically she kind of, I feel like she just brings her there to tell her that she's going to get engaged.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, again, this might not all be real.
Yeah. I mean, I'm wondering, because it would make sense, I mean, nothing makes sense, but, like, if Diane imagined Adam, this whole other complicated storyline for Adam, because she hates him, and then this other storyline for her and Camila as different people who end up totally in love and together. And then when they go find Diane's body, that's when the storyline switches.
Yeah.
So maybe that's, like, something about she gets kicked out of her own brain or something like
that. Yeah, no, that's that's exactly what I thought, too, because that's what, like, triggers a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, they don't even use, like, Naomi Watts. It's not, like, her body that's dead on the bed that would make more sense in a way. I don't know.
Yeah, or she pictures herself as someone else now, like the Diane that died in the bed is someone else, but, like, her brain can't do that or something, so then it's like, oh my God, this is so fucking creepy and weird.
Yeah, so basically this movie is a psychological thriller with a lesbian sex scene.
Yeah, basically.
But we had to do our due diligence as professional lesbians.
Yep.
And professional movie critics.
Yeah, we're so professional.
But honestly, like, there's so much of this movie that, like, does not translate well to a podcast that, like,
no, yeah, you're right,
even just, like, in conversation, unless, like, I feel like with most of our episodes you can kind of get through it and, like, get an understanding of the film even if you haven't seen it, and you might want to know what it is. This one, like, we can't even explain
yeah
all the little pieces to it. It's like way too fucking weird.
Yeah. It is. So even though I feel like even in just recording this, I've already been through a journey where, like, I'm understanding it in a different way.
Are you pissed that you're understanding it more? I'm a little upset.
No, I'm not mad, but it definitely doesn't make me like it anymore.
I can't believe I dedicated more brain space to this.
I know. After this, I never want to think about this movie again. I definitely still think it's a bullshit movie. I know that's maybe, like, a harsh thing to say, but I don't care. Mm. That's what I think. I don't like it.
That's okay. You don't have to like everything. I wasn't a fan either. I tried to desperately make a connection between this and the other Naomi Watts show that's on Netflix that is technically a Romani slur, so I'm not going to say it.
Oh. Oh, I didn't realize that was her.
Yes, she also plays a Diane.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, as a fake Diane.
Whoa.
So I was trying desperately to make some connection there. But that's it. Naomi Watts playing lesbian-ish, as a Diane. It works. Done.
You did it.
I did it. Naomi Watts is Diane as a lesbian.
Lesbian-ish.
Lesbian-ish. That's her, like... alter ego.
Yeah. Good
takeaway. Yeah. So yeah, if you like weird indie shit, definitely watch this.
Yeah.
If you like movies to be 2.5 hours long, definitely you watch
this. Also, I watched this literally like an hour and a half after I watched The Hate U Give, which I think also made me be like, what the fuck is this bullshit?
Yeah, because something like so... real to reality?
Yeah.
True to life.
Yeah. Real to reality, true to life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say, don't watch this. Go watch The Hate U Give in movie theaters.
I definitely want to see that, too.
Yeah.
But actually, I was reading an article from Esquire by David Thompson, and he says, Clue, if you like Mulholland Drive, take a look at Ingmar Bergman's Persona made in 1966. And it was super funny because, like, a lot of the shots in this movie I remember from Persona. This was a movie that I had to watch in my, like, film studies class in college. And it was, again, another, like, I think it's basically based on Persona. It's like...
This is?
I think it is.
Wow.
That's just me saying that. But it is about, like, a woman who kind of goes cuckoo. And kind of loses herself and does have some gay moments.
Huh. That does sound very similar.
But yeah, it's a little strange. He also says, it's a mystery that never settles its own mystery.
I would say that's accurate.
In the name of art.
In the name of capital A, art. white art.
White. White male art.
Yes.
Cool whip. but if you really like Twin Peaks, you'll probably really like this movie, so.
Yeah, don't let me ruin it for you. If you want to watch it, just go ahead.
Yeah, if you like psychological thrillers that don't have, they're not, like, clean cut and don't have a, nothing's tied up in the end, like, literally nothing is tied up, then you can watch this movie.
Yeah, if you want to be left with a feeling of, what the fuck? Watch this movie. Otherwise, don't. But if you're going into it for the gay content, do not. Bad reason.
Just watch it on YouTube.
Yeah, just watch the clip on YouTube if you want. You'll be like, that was boring, but you won't have given 2.5 hours of your life.
We also forgot to mention, so Naomi Watts is in this movie as Betty Diane.
Yeah.
But Laura Herring plays Rita, and she's also in another gay movie called Drool, which we will eventually watch at some point, which is interesting. She's like a really, in both of these movies, she plays like a really sweet sort of character. At least Rita is.
Yeah.
Not Camila. So.
The other thing, the last note I made was, so in this movie, the word silencio is used several times. First, it's Rita.
Yes.
In bed after there's...
No hay bandas.
Yeah, she like has this whole... She's like in a trance or something, and she's speaking...
Spanish.
I don't know what she's saying. Did you understand it? I don't speak Spanish, unfortunately.
Well, silencio, silence. But...
Well, yeah, I know that part.
No hay bandas. I forget what it is.
No. Well, she goes on this tirade for a while and uses the word silencio a lot. And then the very last scene, after Diane shoots herself in the bed, there's this woman in a theater, and she just says, silencio. And that's the end.
Was that the same woman that was singing before?
Oh, I think maybe it was, yeah.
Oh, my God. So, actually, I'm going to get real arty for a moment. That whole scene... which we didn't talk about. there's a scene in which when Benny and Rita are trying to figure out who Rita is, they go to this like performance because Rita remembers something.
Mm-hmm.
And like the no hay bandas and mm-hmm. silencio, which both of those lines are in this performance that they go to see.
Mm.
And it's super weird. Basically the performance, they keep saying this is a recording, and it's all recorded, and at one point, there's a singer that comes out on stage, and she's giving this beautiful performance, and she faints in the middle of it, but her voice is still going.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, this huge disconnect, and the audience, like, feels somewhat, like, betrayed.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt watching this movie.
Yeah, me
like,
too.
I thought I might know what to expect, and then I didn't.
Yeah. I want to silencio this entire movie.
Silencio, por favor. No, por favor? Do I have to be nice about it?
No, you don't have to be nice about this.
I don't have to say please.
No.
All right. Yeah, so that's that.
Happy Halloween!
Do you have a Halloween costume?
I don't do costumes. Actually, I do have... like a Blue Devils cheerleading uniform. That doesn't mean anything to you.
Nope.
It's not a uniform. It's really just the shirt. It's from Wynonna Earp. It's something Waverly wears in Wynonna Earp.
Okay, there you go.
That's my only costume-ish thing.
Nice.
I do have a Orphan Black Christmas sweater.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah,
that's
it's cool. Really, really fucking awesome.
You could probably be, who did Charlize Theron play in that movie? Mad Max, Fury Road, Furiosa.
Oh.
You got the hair for it. I mean, she's bald.
Yeah, I have more hair than that.
Yes, I know, but you could rock it.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I just have to, like, paint raccoon eyes on myself.
Yeah.
And that's a good wear, like, a dirty tank top. That'd be good.
Done.
Cool.
Yeah, I didn't dress up for Halloween for a long time, so this
year... You had a rockin' one this year.
Yeah, I mean, I could have done more. And I did try to do more, but it was pouring rain last night.
It was, yeah.
And my hair was not cooperating. I was Miss Frizzle from the Magic School Bus.
You looked so good.
I saw a dress on Zulily for like $12, and I was like, awesome. Ordered. Because I wanted something work appropriate. It's,
yeah.
Halloween falls on a Wednesday this year, mm-hmm. and I work with children. Not that they're going to be there.
Yeah.
I might not even wear it, but... Yeah, so it's like, yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish I, like, got a lizard or got, like, a little tiny school bus.
That'd be awesome. It's not too late. There's still 2 days.
I'm not going to do it.
Okay. I feel you on that one.
Like.
That's how I feel about Halloween in general. I'm just not going to do it.
It's too much effort.
It's too much.
I did go to a party last night and, like, two people were like, Miss Frizzle, before I even said anything. And I was like, okay, good. My job's done.
Yeah.
Like, I did it.
You did it. Good job.
It's done. My hair's red. I put on a dress that looked like space.
It was great.
Thanks.
Okay.
All right. So I hope you guys, even though this will be after Halloween, November can still be spoopy. Spoopy scary.
It is scary. It's like the most dismal month. Well, that's not true.
It's
February.
Get on
maybe.
A vote, folks.
Get on a vote.
By the way, vote.
Oh, yes. Go vote.
Go vote on
it's
a vote.
Extremely Dr. important.
Seuss.
Make sure you're registered. I mean, the deadlines have passed in most states by now, I would think. I think there might be some states where you can register day of, but if you're not registered, what are you doing? We need you.
Yeah, come on.
The world needs to stop being such a dumpster fire.
Did you send your ballot in?
Not yet. I'm going to do it tomorrow. It's okay. Sunday. I guess I could drop it any day.
There are ballot boxes.
I know, it's true.
Sarah.
Tomorrow.
Alrighty.
I'm definitely voting. Don't worry.
Good. I did vote. Or else I'll forget. Like, if I don't do it right then and there. Like, it's good that, at least in Washington State, we don't have to go to a polling place.
Yeah.
I hated that.
Oh my god. We could get into all the different ways that voters are suppressed and discriminated against, but...
Yep.
That's a different podcast.
Unfortunately.
Yes.
Alrighty. Well, vote. Don't watch this movie.
Do not. Definitely, if you have the choice between watching this movie and voting, definitely vote. Do not watch this movie.
It will take you about 5 minutes to vote. It'll take you 2.5 hours to watch this movie.
It's not worth it.
It's not even that gay. But today I just like couldn't get it together. Perf.
Who's starting?
You.
Me?
Okay.